As we've been hearing, Irish embassy officials are liaising with Israeli authorities about the repatriation of six Irish citizens taken into custody when a flotilla carrying aid for Gaza was stormed in international waters 2 days ago. Meanwhile, the Rachel Corrie, which set out from Ireland and is carrying cement, paper and medical supplies, is expected to be approaching Gaza by the weekend. On the line now is John Ging, Director of Operations with UNRWA, that's the UN operation in Gaza. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Now, even if this, by some miracle, Rachel Corrie manages to make it to Gaza port, is it going to make a whole lot of difference in practical terms?
Well, in practical terms, you know, in terms of the physical cargo, no. But what this is highlighting and the tragic events of recent days is the urgent need to end this illegal blockade on the Gaza Strip, which is a blockade on ourselves at the UN, on the civilian population, and on all legal enterprise in Gaza. That's what's under blockade.
Well, now, the Israeli authorities will say it's not an illegal blockade. Let's park that for a minute. What, at the present time as we speak, and you've been there for a long time as Director of Operations, what is the impact of it right now?
Well, you have 80% of the population that are reduced to queuing for food. There's no economy. There's no employment. The infrastructure for water and sanitation is in a state of collapse. 90% of the water, according to WHO testing, is undrinkable. 70 million cubic litres of raw sewerage is pumped out into the Mediterranean Sea every day. It's just a long line of misery and woe, and it's time that it was ended. In fact, it's way past time that it was ended, and that we get back to looking after the interests of the innocent civilian population and restore them to a dignified existence.
What is your answer to those who would argue that this blockade was put in place to protect the security of Israel, that is basically Hamas's fault?
Well, there's a real security challenge in terms of operating the crossing points into Gaza, and there's no, we have to acknowledge that and we have to address that and deal with it effectively. But the bottom line is, that's what we have to do. We cannot just close off the Gaza Strip and leave 1.5 million people to just languish there. Yes, they're alive, but they have no life. I mean, that is not creating a situation or a circumstance where they will be good neighbours into the future that will contribute to security and stability and peace in the region. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Treat people with hostility, unjustified and inexcusable as it might be, but human nature is such that you will get hostility in return.
And what about, you've been talking about the need, you say it's past time that the international community did something about this blockade. In practical terms, what do you mean by that?
Well, again, we have to find operational solutions to get the supplies that we need into Gaza. First and foremost, for the humanitarian operations like ourselves, we haven't been able to build a school in 3 years. Thousands of children are excluded from a United Nations education as a result. That's wrong. That's not in the interest of Israel's security. And then you can go on from there in terms of what impoverishment and despair creates in the mindsets and mentality of a population who want nothing more than to get on with their lives. There are political complexities to all of this, there are security complexities to all of this, and we have to find a way to solve those so that we can actually discharge our responsibility to the civilian population.
Well, one possibility would be for the United Nations itself, or maybe the European community, to organise a flotilla carrying a substantial amount of aid and for it to defy the Israelis.
Well, I don't want to talk in terms of defying anybody. I mean,
insist on safe passage then.
Yes, access needs to be coordinated to the Gaza Strip with Israel, and again, we are positioned at the UN to do that. That's what we do, but we're not getting the adequate access. We're not getting the access in sufficient quantity that we need, and again, that's what the conversation and the discussion has to now move forward to achieve, which is adequate access for the humanitarian operations in the Gaza Strip.
Stay with us, John Ging, because I want to bring in the Israeli ambassador to Ireland, Zion Evroni. Ambassador, the Israeli government has been saying for days now, if people are sincere about wanting to bring aid to the people of Gaza, all they have to do is land it at an Israeli port, it'll be checked and then passed on to Gaza. But if there's a difficulty about cement, how can that assurance be actually delivered upon?
Actually, some cement is being allowed in if it is in coordination with the United Nations for the construction of some schools. Cement is a dual-use material. It can be used also to reinforce infrastructure by Hamas. I think it's important to remember the full picture for the sake of balance, that we are talking about a regime that fired over 10,000 missiles on Israeli civilians.
Okay,
this has to be taken into consideration. This is the other part of the picture that was not mentioned before. I think that you are talking about a regime that is bent on Israel's destruction, that has a charter that calls for Israel's destruction, that refuses to accept the demands of the international community. So just to add to what Mr. Ging described, and we appreciate the work he does, the full picture, to get the full picture, you have to add these other elements.
Yes, but you talk about how cement is a dual-purpose item, but it's well known, is it not? It's been reported by many commentators and observers that thanks to the tunnel system that has been used to develop a kind of a black economy, Hamas has all the cement it needs. And the people who are being deprived and who are suffering as a result of this embargo on cement are the ordinary people. We heard Mr. Ging talking about the schools they can't build.
The logic of Israel's what you call blockade of Gaza is very simple. To prevent Hamas from receiving missiles, heavy weapons smuggled from Iran and from other organizations or entities, to rebuild its arsenal that later on will be used against Israeli civilians. This is the logic. It is very simple. So what can be used for that purpose, what can be then help in, what can later on help in manufacturing missiles, manufacturing missiles with longer range, with heavier load that can cause...
How do you make a missile out of a bag? How do you make a missile, Ambassador, out of a bag of cement?
I don't think the way you put it is the right way. I think that
Hamas has all the cement it needs because it has these tunnels which it controls. And you still won't let other cement in to build the schools.
If you smuggle tons of cement, it can be used to rebuild your infrastructure, to rebuild the tunnels, to smuggle heavy weapons and missiles and rockets.
But they have plenty of tunnels. They have plenty of cement for their own purposes. It's the people who want houses. It's the people who want schools who are suffering that you are making suffer.
There is suffering on both sides, and the people of Gaza are not our enemy. The enemy of both Israelis and the people of Gaza, and the entity and organization that bears full responsibility for the suffering on both sides is the Hamas. Is the Hamas organization, and I think that if they accept the demands of the international community, renounce terrorism, recognize Israel's right to exist, and if they release the Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit, this will be a breakthrough. And this is, if anybody wanting to really contribute positively and constructively for a positive breakthrough, is to pressure Hamas to accept the demands of the international community. These are not Israeli demands.
Okay, well,
why, if it is so simple, if they, by just a simple declaration that they recognize Israel's right to exist and they renounce terrorism and they accept all prior agreements signed between Israel and the Palestinian Authority, this, they can join the political dialogue. They can release the Israeli soldier. So why is all the pressure and criticism directed toward Israel, and nothing has been mentioned about the responsibility of the real obstacle to a breakthrough?
Talking about this program, if that's the way you're putting it. Now, I want to bring in somebody else for a second Israeli perspective. That's from Haggai Elad, who's director of ACRI. That's the Association for Civil Rights in Israel. Do you find any difficulty, or would you challenge what the ambassador is saying in terms of the perspective on what's been going on?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The situation in Gaza, in which for more than 3 years now, the civilian population in Gaza is held accountable for the policies of the Hamas government, is completely unacceptable from a human rights perspective. it is not working on the, on pragmatic levels as a result of the tunnels that are operating between Egypt and the, and Gaza. But I don't want to focus on that, but on the human rights perspective. And Israel's policy cannot have it both ways. On the one hand, to claim that Gaza isn't occupied, and yet, while that claim is being made, to prevent humanitarian goods from flowing into Gaza. If Gaza is occupied, then Israel has the responsibility towards the civilian population to keep its situation at the humanitarian level that's more than just above a humanitarian crisis. And if Gaza is not occupied, then humanitarian goods should be allowed to flow freely into Gaza. What is being has been defended, quote unquote, when with the attack on the flotilla, it wasn't about defending the state of Israel. It was defending the ongoing siege on Gaza, a siege that is causing great suffering for more than 1.5 million civilians for already some years.
Okay, well, look, I think the ambassador has more or less dealt with that point in his previous contribution. Ambassador, can I ask you about something else? The Irish Times is reporting today that top officials from government departments and the Gardaí have recommended the expulsion of an Israeli embassy security officer after concluding that Israel forged Irish passports used by suspects in the murder of a Hamas official in Dubai recently. How would you react to such a development?
I'm sorry, I cannot shed any light on it. This is a matter of confidential dialogue between us and the Department of Foreign Affairs.
Would such a move be justified, though, given the inquiry and what it seems to have thrown up?
Again, I'm sorry that I have to repeat the same line, but I cannot comment any further on this issue.
Are you saying that it wouldn't be justified?
No, I'm just saying that I cannot comment on this issue, and this is an issue of confidential dialogue between us and the Department of Foreign Affairs.
Okay, Ambassador, thank you for joining us. That's the Israeli Ambassador to Ireland, Zion Evroni. Also, our thanks to Haggai Elad. Last word to you, John Ging. Do you discern any reason for hope from the Ambassador's contribution?
I discern a lot of reason for hope from a lot of contributions in the last couple of days. It's so tragic that it has to come out of the loss of life. But we can't let that life be lost now in vain. We have to capitalize on all the strong statements that have been made and the commitments that have been expressed to end this illegal blockade. And I do myself believe that there is sufficient goodwill on the Israeli side as well that needs to be unlocked to break this circle that we've been trapped in for too long.
John Ging, Director of Operations with UNRWA in Gaza, thank you very much indeed for joining us. You've been listening to a podcast of the News at One on RTE Radio 1 with me, Sean O'Rourke. You can tune into the programme live on RTE Radio 1 or on rte.ie every weekday from 1 p.m.